It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station, broadcasting atop Burrow Hill, overlooking beautiful Kodiak City, where it's 44 degrees, although our temperature gauge outside the studio says 48. We're looking for scattered showers today and cloudy skies. Sort of broken clouds right now. A high near 50. Isolated showers before 1 a.m. tonight. And partly sunny skies, they're saying, for tomorrow. Northeast winds about 5 miles per hour, becoming calm tomorrow morning. Coming up on the Midday News, Al Gross stopped by for a rainy chat with Kodiak voters. An update on Kodiak's COVID-19 count. What is the Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op, and what are their plans? The Navy has plans for exercises and maneuvers in Southeast. All that and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Voters in Texas are registering in record numbers this year in a high-stakes election between two polar opposite presidential rivals. Despite the coronavirus risks of being out among large crowds, lines are long outside polling stations in Houston, a city of 2.4 million voters. Resident Caroline Kuffner says she's never seen anything like it.
Shows that people care and that this matters, this whole election matters.
The early voting process has been an ordeal in Harris County. Governor Greg Abbott expanded the time people got to vote early. He also imposed significant restrictions on the number of places where people could hand in their ballots, prompting more protests from activists who say Republicans are conducting a nationwide campaign to suppress minority votes. Governor Abbott argued he was protecting the integrity of the process. The Republican has echoed President Trump's unsubstantiated claims that expanding mail-in voting would lead to widespread fraud. Well, as millions of people vote early, some of the most prominent issues dominating the presidential campaigns involve the future of the Supreme Court, health care, and the coronavirus pandemic. The Affordable Care Act and abortion rights are taking center stage in day two of Supreme Court confirmation hearings. NPR's Gloria Grisales reports Judge Amy Coney Barrett is facing tough questions, all aimed at gauging how she might rule on related cases in the future.
Barrett told Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar that the landmark abortion rights case Roe v. Wade is not a super precedent and settled law.
And I'm answering a lot of questions about Roe, which I think indicates that Roe doesn't fall in that category.
Barrett still declined to say how she might rule on future cases tied to Roe and the ACA, among others, which is standard practice for any high court nominee, but nonetheless unsatisfying for Klobuchar.
I am then left with looking at the tracks of your record and where it leads the American people. And I think it leads us to a place that's going to have severe repercussions for them.
Democrats are aiming to highlight that record to justify their concerns with Barrett's nomination. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, the Capitol.
Drug makers have just paused two coronavirus studies looking at some safety questions. Here's NPR's Richard Harris.
Johnson & Johnson is developing a coronavirus vaccine. One volunteer involved in that study unexpectedly fell ill, so the company says it has paused the trial so doctors can determine whether this is a safety risk. Meanwhile, Eli Lilly has also stopped a study that was testing another product, a monoclonal antibody. It's designed to stop the virus from infecting cells. Last week, Lilly says it asked the Food and Drug Administration to allow use of this antibody on an emergency basis. The safety concerns raised since then involve a study that uses a combination of the antibody and another drug, remdesivir. President Trump received a similar combination of therapies after he fell ill with COVID-19.
This is NPR. Cuba, Russia, and China, for years considered to be among the world's worst human rights violators, now have seats on the United Nations Human Rights Council. Seats are allocated to geographic regions through secret ballot. Russia and Cuba reportedly ran unopposed. China beat out Saudi Arabia, whose de facto ruler U.S. intelligence officials blame for the brutal killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi in 2018. The United States had earlier announced it was withdrawing from the council. The Trump administration leveled multiple allegations against the global body, including bias against Israel. The World Trade Organization has cleared the way for Europe to impose tariffs on up to $4 billion worth of U.S. exports. And Pierre Scott Horsley reports it's the latest twist in a long-running trade battle between rival jet makers Boeing and Airbus.
The WTO says Europe is entitled to levy tariffs in response to illegal subsidies received by Boeing, in particular a tax break from the state of Washington that ended earlier this year. Last year, the WTO said Airbus had also benefited from illegal subsidies, allowing the U.S. to impose tariffs on some $7.5 billion worth of European exports. The trade spat has caused turbulence far beyond the airplane market, with U.S. tariffs hitting products such as Irish butter, Italian cheese, and Spanish olive oil. The Trump administration is protesting the latest WTO ruling. Both sides say they hope to reach a negotiated settlement. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The Dow has closed down 157 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting those working towards a day when no one has to choose between paying rent, putting food on the table, and protecting their health and the health of others. RWJF.org.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Al Gross stopped in Kodiak Monday evening on the campaign trail for Dan Sullivan's Senate seat after participating in the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce's fishery debate last Saturday. Gross stumped under the gazebo on Kodiak's Oscars dock to a standing audience shielded from the rain under a tent. He made an appeal to Kodiak's working community, describing his own personal experience in fishing.
I ended up having to buy my own boat at 14 and stayed in it because I really like to work hard and catch fish.
Gross also spoke about two features in particular unique to Kodiak, the importance of the ferry system and Kodiak's abundance of renewable energy.
So I'll be a huge advocate for restoring the ferries back to coastal Alaska. I want to be very proactive on the environment and moving towards clean renewable energy like you have here in Kodiak. I mean, you are the model for renewable energy.
Gross put health care front and center in his speech and believes that the best experience for drafting health care legislation is health care experience.
The Senate is 80% attorneys, and there's only three doctors. And,
yeah.
You know, a surgeon's approach is to assess a situation, figure out a plan, fix the problem, and then move on to the next person or the next patient and the next problem. And lawyers spend an awful lot of time talking about things, but they don't actually get things done.
Gross was the first candidate to visit Kodiak since the fisheries debate, which was the first debate of his political career. Gross is running as an independent and challenging Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, who's campaigning on his achievements as an incumbent. 538, a website that offers poll analysis, puts Sullivan ahead of Gross by 4 points, 48 to 44. That result was taken on October 6th, several days before the fisheries debate. The election will be held November 3rd. The COVID-19 count for the Kodiak region is now up to 95 cases since April. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization reported one new case today involving a Kodiak resident. There's no information available yet on how this person contracted the virus. The Emergency Services Group would only say that the case is still under investigation and that the person is in isolation. Currently, 12 cases are considered active locally, down from Friday when there were 18 active cases. One new infection was reported on Friday involving someone who was a close contact of a previously reported case. Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op has ambitious plans. Its long-term goal is to build a food co-op grocery store with its own building here in Kodiak. And while that project is still a work in progress, Kodiak Harvest is achieving its goals in other ways. The fall and winter market hosted by the Kodiak Harvest at Kodiak Island Brewery, provides a venue for farmers, fishers, and artisans to sell their products outside of the typical farmers market season. Goods of all types made in Kodiak and Alaska are available at the market. Fresh fish, lip balm, tea, honey, kelp salsa, and of course beer from the Kodiak Island Brewery are all up for sale. Much of it is available to order online as well, and you can pick it up in person. Those interested can find the market at the Kodiak Island Brewery from 5 to 7 on Monday evenings from now till the end of December. The U.S. Navy projects its exercises and maneuvers in Southeast Alaska waters won't cause the death of any marine mammals. That's according to its updated environmental review for the next 7 years in what it terms its Northwest Training Area up and down the West Coast. KSTK's Sage Smiley has this report.
The Navy says it doesn't know how many marine mammals it actually disturbs or harms each year. John Mosher is an environmental planner for the Navy in charge of the project's review. He says it's educated guesswork.
The takes themselves, and especially because they're almost entirely behavioral disturbance, are very theoretical. So we model, we project what could occur if we conduct the full extent of these activities. In most cases, we're never going to know if, in fact, they really occurred.
The Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, is a requirement of the National Marine Fisheries Service, which regulates marine mammals and is charged with their protection from harm. The study area includes the Navy's Southeast Alaska Acoustic Measurement Facility, or CFAC, near Ketchikan's Beam Canal. CFAC measures the sound signatures of Navy vessels, specifically submarines, which need to remain as quiet as possible in the theater of war.
The vast majority across the entire study area, across the entire EIS, over 99.9% of our authorizations for take are for behavioral disturbance.
In other words, Mosher says that most of the effects Navy exercises have on marine mammals is non-lethal, the kind of disturbance that could stress an animal out, but not cause permanent harm. Any instance of disturbance is called a take. A take can also mean the death of a marine mammal, including dolphins, porpoises, and whales. The final EIS proposes no serious takes of marine mammals in Southeast Alaska waters in the next 7 years. Mosher says that's mostly because what the Navy does in Southeast is largely passive. CFAC is a listening station. Still, the study increases the amount of projected behavioral disturbances to killer whales and minke whales in the area compared to the Navy's study 5 years ago. It also projects to increase thousands of behavioral takes for harbor seals in Alaska. Those increases in proposed behavioral disturbance would happen despite the fact that the EIS also proposes lowering the number of yearly activities at CFAC. The EIS also projects fewer takes for Alaskan porpoises. A Navy spokesperson clarified that the changes are due to better modeling, updated marine mammal surveys, and a better understanding of the animal's thresholds for exposure to disturbances. Federal agencies are charged with evaluating the Navy's plans, but they aren't commenting. Both the Marine Mammal Commission and NOAA Fisheries referred questions back to the military. The Navy does not have take allowances for mortality or behavioral disturbances on fish and smaller invertebrate creatures. Those animals aren't protected in the same way by federal law. There are concerns from some quarters. The Center for Biological Diversity says the Navy turns a blind eye to the fact that a lot of marine mammals it says won't be harmed migrate in and out of Alaska. Steve Jones, a California-based spokesman for the nonprofit, says it's not just the big animals that are affected, and they're important too.
We're very concerned with Navy exercises, particularly the sonar and the explosions, and the impact they have on marine mammal populations, particularly whales, but right down to the zooplankton that are the basic building block of life in the oceans. There's a 50% mortality rate when you hit them with undersea noise pollution, such as explosions or sonar. So very concerned about that. This plan certainly is going to impact salmon that are migrating to Alaska, and a number of other species.
The Navy says it won't be testing any weapons in Southeast Alaska waters. The EIS only proposes one or two sonar tests per year at CFAC near Ketchikan. The final permit from NOAA is expected to be issued later this month. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaskans voting by mail will not be required to have witnesses sign their ballots this year after Alaska Supreme Court upheld a lower judge's ruling today. State law requires that a witness sign absentee ballots. The Arctic Village Council and others sued to block the requirement this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Danny Crosby ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, but the order was put on hold after the Division of Elections appealed it to the Supreme Court. Today, the Supreme Court affirmed Crosby's ruling after hearing oral arguments in the appeal. Nancy Landreth of the Native American Rights Fund is a lawyer for the plaintiffs. She argued that some voters are at higher risk from the effects of COVID-19, including those like Arctic Village residents who are far from a hospital. She says they shouldn't have to interact with a witness.
Deciding whether or not to vote because you were afraid of getting sick is one aspect of the burden. Another is exposing yourself to disease. There are only two outcomes, both of which are heavy. Either you don't vote because you're afraid, or you vote at the risk of contracting it.
Division of Elections lawyer Laura Fox argued that the court should reject the judge's ruling that absentee voters wouldn't need a witness. She says the plaintiffs, which included the Arctic Village Council, didn't prove the witness requirement is a severe burden. And she said that contradicting the written instructions mailed with the ballot to have a witness would confuse voters.
A court order changing the rules in the middle of the election will cause confusion and distrust at a point when we're already in this climate of unprecedented public skepticism about the election.
Judge Dario Borgeson questioned how the court should weigh voters' concerns. He noted that although some voters may feel that the witness signature prevents vote fraud, the state hadn't presented evidence that it does.
How can we essentially rely on public perception if it's not grounded in the facts that we have in front of us?
A full opinion will be issued later. Nearly 11,000 absentee votes have already been received by the state. More than 110,000 have been requested by voters. The head of Alaska's Cruise Industry Association says people want to get on cruise ships and visit the state this year. Mike Tibbles briefed the state's Marine Pilots Board last Friday.
We still are hearing that Alaska remains in high demand. We're still hearing that there's a lot of pent-up demand for cruising. Cruisers that have cruised in the past really are anxious to get back on board.
The Cruise Lines International Association's Alaska rep was asked by the Marine Pilots Board how many cruise ships and passengers are expected to visit in 2021. Tibbles says there's still too much uncertainty to make those kind of projections.
I just think there's just too many unknowns at this point to be able to put a specific number out.
This year's cruise season was canceled following a no-sail order by the Centers for Disease Control and the closing of Canada's ports to cruise traffic. Foreign-flagged vessels require a stop in Canada in order to carry U.S. passengers from Seattle to Alaskan ports. Since the coronavirus pandemic, Carnival Corporation-owned Princess and Holland America cruise lines have each sold a ship that had been deployed to Alaska in the summer. A third franchise, Cunard, has also confirmed it's canceled all Alaska sailings in 2021. It's not clear when U.S. and Canadian authorities will allow cruises to resume to visit Alaska ports.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Seafood sales continue to soar. More after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association provides Coast Guard accepted training for fishermen across Alaska. Learn more at amc.org.
One unexpected constant amid the COVID uncertainties is that people continue to buy and cook more seafood. Since March, when the pandemic led to lockdowns in the U.S. and elsewhere, consumer buying habits have busted several long-held beliefs, including that Americans are reluctant to cook seafood at home. A poll of major retailers by the Global Aquaculture Alliance is consistent with other surveys. Evidence of the seafood at home craze is overwhelming. One U.S. supermarket chain reported a 40% increase in salmon and shrimp demand and a doubling in snow crab sales. Seafood was the most susceptible protein to price collapse, given its dependence on food service sales. Early on, prices and sales for salmon and shrimp, for example, fell to the lowest value in years. Erner Berry, the nation's oldest commodity market tracker, said the drastic price declines may have been a big reason behind the remarkable increase in retail seafood sales. A silver lining is that people have found out that seafood is one of the easiest proteins to cook, said buyers for Publix and Giant Eagle. Consumers also may have switched for health reasons, such as boosting their immune system by eating a protein that's packed with heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. Polls also say the food-at-home fatigue is real, and retailers are preparing marketing campaigns to keep the boom alive. A lot depends on the status of restaurants. As many as 100,000 outlets have closed long-term or for good, said the National Restaurant Association. The GAA poll said food service and retailers agree on one thing: the seafood marketplace has changed forever, and companies that do the best will be those that embrace new consumer trends. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch. What's even better than recycling cardboard? Give Back Box is a charity that donates to those who are less fortunate. Fill any box with used clothes, household items, or accessories. Print out a mailing label at givebackbox.com. Drop off the box at the post office or call FedEx or UPS. It's free. You can do the same for donated Legos. Give back for free at givebackbox.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 13th day of October, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 8:42. It won't set again until 7:09 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 27 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 54 seconds compared to yesterday. We have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 12:25 p.m., almost there. That will be a 7.5-foot tide. The low tide this evening is at 6:08 p.m., will be a 2.1-foot tide. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 12:51 p.m., that will be a 14-foot tide. And your low tide this evening will be at 6:56 p.m., a 2.6-foot tide. Well, it says currently not available for my temperature, but my temperature gauge here at the studio says 48 degrees. I think the last reading here from the National Weather Service was 44. So your temperature may vary. We're looking for scattered showers for the rest of the afternoon, but they're saying possibly partly sunny skies for tomorrow, and mostly sunny skies for Thursday, and that's the day you can show up at the library and help them dig in their garden on Thursday. Speaking of which, the Kodiak Public Library Association is having its annual meeting. That's happening tonight at 6:30. Due to COVID, it will be a Zoom meeting. The Library Association is a nonprofit Friends of the Library group. Their purpose is to provide support to the mission of the Kodiak Public Library through advocacy, fundraising, and public outreach. And that is right, on Thursday at the library from 12 to 3 p.m. you can come out and dig in the dirt at the library. They're going to weed, rake, and prepare the library garden for the winter. All tools will be provided, just wear your grubby clothes. Again, that's 12 to 3 on Thursday, and it's supposed to be nice weather. The Crabfest Committee has selected the slogan Retro Revival for the 2021 Kodiak Crab Festival, and they're asking for logo and poster submissions. So start designing. They must reach the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce by 5 p.m. on Monday, November 9th. For full details and rules, go to the KodiakCrabFest.com site. The Kodiak Arts Council is pleased to announce auditions for the community theater production Letters Aloud, Love Me or Leave Me, a reader's theater work celebrating the written word and highlighting historical letters of love, longing, and redemption. It's a great opportunity for actors who enjoy voice work and seek the challenge of conveying a range of emotion through voice and stationary movement. Auditions will be held at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium over several days this week from 4:30 to 7 p.m. every evening. Director Jesse Marlowe is looking for a cast of 4 to 6 adult actors. Performance dates will be November 20th through 22nd. To reserve your audition spot, just complete a Google form you can find on the Arts Council website. That's at www.kodiakarts.org. And you can also call the Arts Council at 486-5291 or 942-5840. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,003 millibar low, 110 nautical miles southwest of Kodiak Island, will move into the central Gulf of Alaska and stay at about 120 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island and go to 1,023 millibars on Wednesday afternoon. Your resulting weather, Kodiak's east side offshore Marmot Island to Sitkanak. Variable winds to 10 knots right now and seas to 5 feet. Variable 10 and seas to 4 feet tonight. And for tomorrow, variable 10 seas to 3 feet. Pretty nice. They are saying on Thursday, north wind to 20, seas to 6 feet. And on Friday, northeast 15, seas to 7 feet. Over in the Shelikof, Kodiak's west side, east wind to 15 knots right now and seas to 4 feet. For tonight, northeast 15 will become variable 10 this evening, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, west winds to 15 knots, seas to 3 feet. And for Thursday in the Shelikof, north winds to 15 knots, seas to 3 feet. Inside waters near town, Chiniak Bay, east wind to 10 knots, seas to 3 feet for today. Tomorrow, variable winds less than 10 knots, seas to 2 feet. For Thursday, look for northwest winds to 15 knots and seas to 3 feet in Chiniak Bay. Up in Marmot Bay, east winds to 10 knots and seas to 3 feet right now. For tonight, northeast winds to 10 knots will become variable less than 10, seas remaining at 3 feet. For tomorrow, look for variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. And for Thursday in Marmot Bay, northwest 15, seas to 1 foot. Pretty nice weather coming up for you mariners. Remember, KMXT's Run the Rocks in-person results are up on the website. You can view them by clicking on the blue icon at the KMXT.org site. The virtual results will be posted tomorrow once all athletes have completed their race.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.